listening to the Dental Chat Podcast with Dr. Sylvia Lobo Lobo.
Dr. Richard Baxter is a board-certified pediatric dentist and a diplomat of the American Board of Laser Surgery. He is a nationally recognized speaker on tongue ties, instructor of the comprehensive online course Tongue Tied Academy, and a lead author of the best-selling book Tongue Tied: How a Tiny String Under the Tongue Impacts Nursing, Speech, Feeding, and More. He lives in Birmingham, Alabama with his wife, Tara, and their three girls, Hannah, Noelle, and Molly. He is the founder of the Alabama Tongue Tie Center, where he uses CO2 laser to release oral restrictions that are causing nursing, speech, dental, sleep, and feeding issues.
It's a great pleasure to have you with us today, Dr. Baxter. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Can you tell us what a tongue tie is?
Yeah. So a tongue tie is a small string of tissue or a little fold of tissue under the tongue that restricts normal tongue movement and also causes a functional issue. So everyone has a frenum, that little piece of tissue under the tongue, but not everyone's is causing a problem. So in babies, it could be breastfeeding or bottle feeding issues, fussy, gassy, refluxy, colicky, all that stuff. And then in children, it could be speech, solid feeding, and sleep issues. And in adults, it might be neck tension, shoulder pain, headaches, migraines, sleep issues, and possibly speech as well. So it has to be causing a problem and then also be a little bit too tight, too thick, or too short.
In your book, Tongue Tied, you talk about lip tie. Can you talk to our listeners about what that is?
Yeah, so a lip tie is real similar. So everyone has a frenum right above their two front teeth. And so basically for some people, that's too tight. And so for like a child, it could be causing trouble brushing the teeth or fighting when brushing. Can be not cosmetic, so they have a big gap in the teeth. And then for an adult, same thing, a gap in the teeth, even like it can impact nasal breathing. So we found some people can breathe easier after releasing that. But the most of the time that we release the lip tie is actually in babies. We can impact breastfeeding and impact seal issues. And so they'll swallow lots of air because they have a shallow latch and they don't have a good seal at the breast or at the bottle. And that can lead to fussiness, gassiness, and all kinds of other issues like spitting up. And so, yeah, that's a lip tie. But it looks similar. Again, not everyone has a lip tie. It's only a lip tie if it's causing a problem.
So you mentioned some of the signs and symptoms. Are those the most common signs and symptoms of tongue tie in babies?
Yes, there's definitely others, but those are just the most common ones. Mm-hmm.
Can you talk to us a little bit about the issues women might experience while nursing their babies if they have tongue or lip ties?
Yeah, so lots of moms have like nipple distortion where it's like flattened or creased or blanched, even like lipstick shaped after nursing. Like blistered, cut, bleeding nipples, so nipple damage, real bad pain when nursing, although there doesn't have to be, right? So any of these, it could be any combination of them. And so real bad pain, sometimes it's 7 out of 10, terrible pain. And you look in, there's nothing there. It could be what's called a posterior or not obvious tongue tie. Basically, it's a collection of the fascia in that same exact area. It's not back by the tonsils. It's right under the tongue. But for that child, it's too tight. And more often than not, when it's really bad pain for mom, it is a posterior, not an anterior or obvious tongue tie. So other issues for mom can be poor breast drainage. So just the milk's baby's not getting enough milk, so the baby doesn't gain weight. But then that also leads to mom getting engorgement or mastitis, plugged ducts. They can have to use a nipple shield. So there's lots of problems that can arise from others as well.
What are some of the causes of tongue tie?
So we don't really know. It's most likely a combination of a genetic component and epigenetic component. So environmental, basically. So the genetic component, I mean, we often joke in the office, it's dad's fault. But very often, it seems like, I gave it to all three of my girls. So it's likely like it's passed down from, dad, or it could be mom. But there's definitely a genetic component. I mean, we've had some kids, there's five kids in the family, all five had it. Or seven yeah. kids and all seven had it. And so it's very possible. But sometimes it's not super obvious. Like, neither parent has a tongue tie. It could be due to folic acid, too much folic acid during pregnancy, especially the 12th week in development. That's when it seems to happen. That just the failure of programmed cell death or apoptosis. Remember back from high school biology, but the tissue is supposed to recede and go away on its own. And for whatever reason, it just doesn't. So it's too thick or too tight. And so for those people, it causes limitations for them in some cases, not all. But it's extremely common. It's probably about 20%, maybe 25%. And so we're thinking like, okay, there has to be something like in the water or something where if it's that high, there's a reason for it. And most likely the thing that's coming out now is likely the folic acid. It's just a little bit too much folic acid during pregnancy. But we don't know for sure. No one knows.
That's very interesting. How can a tongue tie affect baby oral development?
Yeah, so in utero, the palate's already molding and forming. If the tongue is held down, so the tongue is actually supposed to be like suction cupped up into the palate and up there helping to mold the palate. And so making it more broad and U-shaped and flatter. Babies that are born with tongue tie often have a higher arch palate, V-shaped palate, or some people call it like a bubble palate. And so there's like a bubble up there. And so with those babies, likely later on, they may need a palatal expander or braces or something. And so they're born. If they're having trouble breastfeeding, mom switched to bottle. Often that doesn't solve all the problems. It solves some. It solves the nipple pain problem and the baby getting enough milk, of course, which unfortunately, like most of the time, if a baby has a tongue tie, if the pediatrician sees them like they're gaining weight, they're like, oh, they're fine. Just leave it. But that's the best time to treat as a baby if they're having problems. But if weight gain is only one of the check marks, only one of the issues that we see with babies with tongue tie. What's interesting is, so they switch to a bottle. Actually, it's the act of nursing that helps to form the palate and to mold the palate. So nursing over bottle feeding, even if it's breast milk, right, is the actual act of nursing is the important part. In addition to the breast milk, of course, there's no comparison between breast milk and formula. But there's a difference between pumping and bottle feeding versus breastfeeding when it comes to palatal development. And then the third thing that can influence palatal development is nasal breathing. And so if you can encourage that baby or child to breathe through their nose, that can help to develop a more broad palate than a high arch palate. And so that affects dental development, but it also affects like the growth of the jaws, so the growth of maxilla. If the tongue is down, the maxilla will not grow as much forward. And I mean, I needed jaw surgery. That's what happened to me. So it impacts everyone differently, but it's definitely can influence the growth of the jaws.
How is it diagnosed?
So it has to be diagnosed by a doctor. So a dentist, a physician, some mid-level providers can diagnose in certain states. A speech therapist, lactation consultant are not allowed to, quote, diagnose. They can say this looks suspicious, but they cannot actually diagnose it. And so it's diagnosed based on a combination of the assessment, so like the feel of it, how the appearance of it, as well as the functional limitations that baby, child, or adult has. And so if they have, enough symptoms, for example, coupled with the appearance, then that'll lead to like me saying, okay, yes, this is a tongue tie, and likely would see some resolution of those symptoms with treatment. So for example, for today, I had twin girls, right? One of them, very tight tongue tie and had like 15 check marks on our forms, like lots of issues, speech, solid feeding, sleep, other issues. The other twin had less of a tie, like a little bit of restriction, but not much. And then she only had one check mark on there, like picky eating or something. It's like, well, I think it was restless sleep. So restless sleep could be caused by lots of different things. So I advise them, hey, let's treat, this twin and not the other twin, just because it seems at this moment, it's not going to be worth the money, worth the time put in for the stretches, worth, discomfort. So the risks of the procedure, basically, for the amount of benefit we're going to get. But the other twin, with lots of issues and a tight tongue, that's probably a slam dunk. I'm hoping we'll get some really good results for them. So it really depends on the combination of symptoms and the appearance. So if it's super tight, but only a couple symptoms, I'll say yes. If it's minimally tight, but they have lots of symptoms, then I'll also likely say yes. And if it's in between, a little bit there and a little bit of symptoms, then it's really often up to the parents if they want to consider treatment or not. Or sometimes we'll just say, hey, let's just wait and watch and see what happens. So that's typically how we diagnose it.
And how does it get treated? How do you treat tongue tie?
So since biblical times has been treated, you can use scissors. Scalpel has also been used, so steel methods. We like to use a CO2 laser, so we use the light scalpel CO2. Basically what it does is it hovers over it. It's an invisible beam. You can't see it, but just the tissue just disappears. And so it's really cool. It takes about 15 seconds for a lip tie on average. A tongue tie is about 10 seconds. If it's an adult or something like that, we'll take longer and make sure we get all the little fibers of fascia inside there. But for a baby, it's about 5 or 10 seconds often. And so the best part with using the laser is there's typically minimal to no bleeding. So you can see exactly what you're doing, get those tiny little fibers in there. And obviously we have the babies swaddled up. They are not asleep. We don't sedate anyone for the procedure or put anyone to sleep for the procedure. It's really not needed even for toddlers. So we just do it in the office after we do the consultation typically. So just a topical numbing jelly until about age 5 or 6. And then we'll give them injected lidocaine into those areas just to help make sure they're extra numb. But yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Can you please tell our listeners where they can go for help if they know someone with this issue?
Yeah, so there's often like every state kind of has like a Facebook group. I know Facebook's not the best to get medical information, but it does have some Facebook groups. You can find someone close by that can help. Because just going to the pediatrician or even your dentist or pediatric dentist or ENT, often they don't have like full knowledge on the subject. And so it's really important to get someone who knows and has like current knowledge on it and have taken a CE recently on it. They have, like often it's someone with a personal experience. Like I'd never heard of a tongue tie, had no idea I wanted to get in tongue ties until my girls had it. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is like a huge unmet need. And we just started seeing people and the word spread and like wildfire. And so, there's some Facebook groups. There's a Health Latch Circle. It's pretty cool. My friend James Thomas up in Seattle is working on that. Basically, he's trying to create a community for people that they can help find providers. And then there's also, there used to be like a preferred provider list. They don't really have that anymore. I think it's like TT-LT-provider or something like that. But tongue tie, lip tie providers, you can Google that. And there's a list of those as well. So, and of course, like our book Tongue Tied has lots of information in it as well as all those resources. But it's super common and more common than anyone really realizes is the thing.
Any last recommendations for our listeners, Dr. Baxter?
Yeah, if people are interested in getting involved as a dentist, they want to get training. So we have. There was not really a lot of good resources when I was trying to get started. And so we created this Tongue Tied Academy. So it's an online course. It's 25 hours of video. So it took us about a year to produce it. But it works really well as far as like helping train people that don't have much information on it. And our book Tongue Tied is an easy way to get in. There's a Kindle audio version, paperback hardcover. It's on Amazon. It basically goes through the A to Z of it for parents or even like a pediatrician or speech therapist, lactation consultant. If you want to help, educate your provider, if they're like, they don't know much about it, you could get them a copy of that. There's lots of organizations devoted to tongue ties, American Laser Study Club. There's the Academy of Laser Dentistry, the whole field of myofunctional therapy, lots of resources out there now that weren't even there like 5 years ago. So yeah, lots of good, good stuff available.
I can't thank you enough for joining us today and helping raise awareness about tongue and lip tie.
Yeah. Short but sweet. But hopefully that's some good information for your listeners. And if anyone wants to reach out to us, they can. Our website's tongue tie, TongueTieAl for Alabama.com. Or just type in Alabama Tongue Tie Center on Google. It pops up. We'd love to help out. If anyone has questions, they can send us a message. Or if someone thinks their child has a tongue tie, we'd be happy to take a look at the picture or something.
Thank you so much, Dr. Baxter.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me, Sylvia.
Thank you to our listeners for joining us today. Please take a moment to rate and review us wherever you get your podcast. If you would like to recommend topics to discuss in this podcast, please visit the website www.dentalchatpodcast.com or email me at dentalchatpodcast@gmail.com.
Disclaimer. The purpose of this podcast is to educate and to inform. This is not a substitute for professional dental care or intended for the diagnosis or treatment of individual conditions.